You know, it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to miss the obvious. We think we see certain things a certain way, and then later on, we realize we'd missed it completely. Reminds me of a teenage boy who had just received his driver's license, and since he wanted to drive to school and take his girlfriend on dates, he decided he wanted to approach his father and see if he was okay with driving one of the family cars. So Dad listened as the boy makes his appeal, and then says, "Son, you need to be very responsible to do this kind of thing, and I need to see some improvement in your life. I'd like to see you begin to read your Bible every day, and I would like to see you improve your grades at school. C's and D's aren't good enough, son. And by the way, you need to cut your hair." Well, the boy spent several weeks not forgetting the advice of his father. And when the day of the report card came, he approached his father and said, "Dad, I've hardly missed one morning of reading the Bible. Did you notice?" He said, "Yes, sir. Yes, son, I have. Having an interest in spiritual things is really good." And then the teen showed his father the report card, and every grade had improved to B's and even A's. And Dad said, "I'm proud of you, son. But I noticed that your hair is the same length it was before our little talk." And he said, "Dad, I've been reading the Bible, and I've noticed that many men in the Bible had long hair. Abraham and Samson and Joseph and Daniel and John the Baptist and probably even Jesus." Well, without a moment's hesitation, the dad replied, "Did you notice, too, that all those men walked wherever they went?" It's easy to miss the obvious. And I think it's easy for us if we can miss the reality of what Easter Sunday is all about. So flip with me to Luke, if you have your Bible. Luke chapter, 24. If you don't, I'll read it. But there's Bibles in the back if you want one. Luke 24. We're going to bounce a little bit in here, but not too much. Start with me. Luke 24, verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which had been prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and the body. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 5, "And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." Keep going with me, verse 9. "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed like to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what happened." Now, from there, it's the road to Emmaus, so we're going to skip up a little bit, jump all the way up to verse 36. Same chapter, Luke 24, 36. "Now, as they said these things," talking about the report of what happened on the road to Emmaus, "Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself.'" And verse 40, "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet." Last little bit, 44. "And he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it's written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, the Holy Spirit, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Pray with me for a second. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit at work right now in this room and in our hearts and drawing us to Jesus, always drawing us to Jesus. And I pray, Lord, we'd hear your voice clearly today through the study of your word, and we would be just overwhelmed by your great love. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on that cross so that we might live. And so have your way in our hearts, we ask now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the reaction, the reason I want to read all that, the reaction of the disciples on that first Easter morning is really interesting to me. Verse 4, if you look, it says that they were greatly perplexed. They weren't rejoicing. They were really confused. Because some people have this idea that on the first Easter morning, the disciples were having a party. They were celebrating. That isn't true. Notice there it says they were greatly perplexed. Verse 5, it says they were afraid. And then when the women go and tell the 11 disciples what they had seen and heard from the angel, verse 11 tells us that their words seemed like idle tales, which means they were babbling from a fevered mind. In other words, the disciples thought these women were crazy. These women were out of their minds, and they didn't believe them. And then in verse 12, it says that he marveled to himself, which means he deeply questioned within himself what's going on. So here's the verbs that we read through there. Perplexed, confused, fear, seemingly fevered, babbling, a lack of believing, and deep questioning. But then if you look ahead to verse 36, as the day is moving on, Jesus then stands in the midst of them, and notice what he says to them, peace to you. Now, what happens at that point in time? Do the disciples rejoice? No. In fact, 37 says they're terrified. They're frightened. They thought they saw a ghost. So their emotions go from being perplexed and confused and doubting to now terror is gripping their hearts. And the word frightened there literally means freaked out. No one was celebrating with party hats and things and streamers. And no one was doinking eggs on the top of each other. Nobody was doing any of that kind of stuff. They were freaking out at this point in time. It was a day of confusion. It was a day of doubting. And now an evening of terror and fear. Those are the verbs that are used. That's how the followers of Jesus were reacting on this first Easter morning. So verse 38 then, Jesus asks them, why are you guys troubled? What's going on in your hearts? And I suggest something to you. Is it possible that they were freaked out for a reason that maybe you haven't considered before? You see, when Jesus died 3 days earlier, their leader and their Lord was then buried in a tomb. All their hopes, all their dreams, all their visions, all their purposes were buried with him. But that wasn't all that was buried with him. Along with those things, their faithlessness was buried with him. Their infidelity, their failures, their fickleness, all that was buried away. Allow me to explain. The day before Jesus died, we see the disciples in the upper room arguing over which one of them was the greatest. Here's Jesus about to die, and they're arguing about who's the greatest. And then one of them left dinner and sold out their master for 30 pieces of silver. Later on that same night, Jesus says to them, tonight all of you will be made to stumble because of me, and you will scatter. And Peter puffs out his chest like he's prone to do and says, even if everybody else leaves you, I'll never do that. You can count on me. I'm with you all the way. And all the disciples joined in with him and said, even if we have to die with you, we will never deny you. So here are the disciples already arguing and betraying and saying they're never going to abandon him. And don't forget, too, later that night, Jesus asked the boys to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, but they couldn't keep from falling asleep. And when the soldiers came to take Jesus away, the disciples split out of there and ran for their lives. What a mess. In one night, the night before Jesus dies, the fellows are arguing and they're betraying and they're saying they're never going to leave Jesus. They're sleeping instead of praying, and then they're running for their lives. And then we see Peter, when Jesus is in the Caiaphas's court, trying to warm himself by the fire, he cursing and swearing vehemently, denying he was ever with Jesus, or even that he even knew him. And these guys were so freaked out when Jesus was led away to be crucified. All but one was nowhere to be found, cowardly, hiding out. Now fast forward 3 days with me in your mind. These guys know that they have blown it terribly. And now Jesus is dead and buried. So the good news in their mind probably is, you know what? My failures are buried too. My mistakes, my fickleness, my infidelity, all that my faithfulness is buried away too. But now, in our text today, they're hearing reports that he's back. And they've got to think, uh-oh. He's no doubt aware of all of our mistakes over the past few days. No wonder they're frightened. No wonder they're terrified. They don't know how he's going to react to them. And I suppose some of us would feel that way too if Jesus suddenly appeared in our room this morning. Some of us probably be freaked out, not knowing how's Jesus going to respond to me because of your failures. Well, I got good news for you. That's what I want to talk about. And sometimes when we think about that, we think, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I've not been walking very closely with Christ. I know I haven't been doing the things I should have been doing. I've just blown it over and over and over again. And I bet many of us, if we were really honest, we would say, that's how I feel. If Jesus would appear in this room, I'm not sure how Jesus would react. You know, I'd be freaked out too. I'd be terrorized too, because I know I have not been faithful perfectly. And I know I failed him miserably many times. Well, that's how the disciples were feeling as we walk our way through this. But watch this. Here's the good news for today. 38. Jesus says, "Why are you troubled? Why do these doubts arise in your heart?" And then he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself." Look at my hands, guys. Look at the holes that are in my hands where the spike pierced them through. Look at my feet where I was pinned to that tree. And then in 44, Jesus explains the scriptures to them. And he opens their understanding that they might uncomprehend the scriptures. Now for those of us who would feel super nervous if Jesus would walk in this room today, or maybe you feel you're unworthy of Jesus' love for whatever reason, or maybe you don't feel it's possible you'd be blessed by the Lord, you need to pay attention to the next couple verses. Because notice in 46, thus it was written and thus was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, 47, and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. So Jesus explained in the scriptures to them. And what he's saying to them in essence is, don't you understand? This is why I died. It was for your failures. It was for your fickleness. And no doubt Isaiah 53 was one of the passages that he tried to explain to them. It goes this way: surely he has borne our griefs, speaking of the Messiah, Jesus. Surely he has carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So if you listen to anything today, I invite you to tune into this. Jesus shows these guys the stripes and the scars and the nail holes, and he says to them, "Fellas, your failures are forgiven. This is why I came, that you might repent," which means have a change in mind, which results in a change of behavior, "that you might repent." That's what it says there, doesn't it? 47. He's saying to them, guys, I don't want you to be afraid of me. I don't want you to feel like I'm mad at you or disappointed in you. I have not given up on you guys. We've got a future together. That is exactly why I came, Jesus is saying to these guys. I came so that you would repent and receive forgiveness for your sins, for your mistakes, for your rebellion. That's the good news of Easter, amen? That's the good news of Easter. So here's the big question that we have to ask. Was the offering where Jesus gave himself, dying for our sins, all our mistakes, was that acceptable to God the Father? Well, to answer that question, we got to back up a little bit in time. Remember Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It was the day where one day each year, the high priest of Israel, wearing only linen garments, would go into the Holy of Holies of the temple in Jerusalem, and he would take blood from the sacrifice and he would sprinkle it on top of the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, called the mercy seat. And thousands of people would be gathered out in the courtyard, wondering, as this is all happening, was the high priest's sacrifice acceptable in the sight of God for covering our sins this year? Well, later, maybe in minutes, but it might likely more like hours later, the high priest would come out of that temple and he would shout to all the gathered thousands of people and he would say, forgiven, forgiven. And the people would all have a party. The sacrifice was accepted by God. So too, when Jesus Christ, wrapped in linen cloths, and buried, we have to ask ourselves, did the offering take? Well, the answer to that biblically is yes, absolutely, for sure. Why? Because our great high priest, Jesus Christ, emerged from that grave. The offering took. The price was paid. That's the great news of Easter Sunday. So it really doesn't matter what sin you've been involved in or the sin you're presently struggling with. Oh yeah, God wants us to walk in purity and God wants us to walk in holiness, but God came to forgive our sins. And so as we struggle with sin sometimes, we can feel condemned by those sins. It doesn't matter how you've walked since last Easter. The fact of the matter is, through Christ, our sins can be forgiven, wiped away, clean. See, Jesus rising from the dead was validation that the offering was accepted by God the Father, and that our sins, as we put our faith in Christ, our sins will be forgiven. We should have a party today. Let's have a party today. Let's all go over to Marianne's house. So how do we respond to this? Okay, it requires a response, not just nodding our head, but it requires a response. It's simply this. My encouragement to you is simply this. Don't try to cover up your sin or pretend it isn't really that bad. Simply come clean by saying to God, thank you, Lord, for dying for me on that cross and taking the punishment for my rebellion and my sin. I believe that the offering has been accepted. I accept the forgiveness you offer me through Jesus. So maybe the skies are threatening in your world today. And maybe you're thinking as you sit here, you know what? I'm going to start getting my act together, by golly. I'm going to start doing better. I'll be okay. Nah, I'm not going to acknowledge my failures and my sins because after all, I'm a better person than most. I mean, look around the room. But you have sinned against God. I have sinned against God. And that's what this day is all about. See, Jesus died for you and he died for me And he paid the necessary price for us to be forgiven. And he says to those who have turned their back on him, peace to you. Look at my scars. And they explained to them that not only were their sins forgiven, they were forgotten. And Jesus says, not only to these people back when the texts were reading, he says that to us right now this morning. He says that very same message. Don't feel condemned. Come to me, be clean, and walk in newness of life. Walk in victory. Walk in hope. Walk in peace. Walk in joy. Walk in purpose. That's the life he wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live all slumped over. Way too many Christians walk like we've been baptized in pickle juice. Way, way, way too many of us. Jesus would say to us today, peace. And those of us who know him and have received the gift of salvation, we've been set free. Free from guilt and shame. Free from regret. Free from fear. Free from insecurities. Free from the power of addictive behaviors. If you've never opened your heart to God before, you too can have your sins forgiven and forgotten this very moment. There's no need to fear once you embrace God's gracious and glorious gift of salvation. Jesus paid the price for your sin. Simply come clean before him. Admit to him that you are in need of forgiveness and that Jesus, God's only Son, was the Savior that God sent for you. Okay? Now, remember how we began today? Talking about sometimes we miss the obvious. Well, there was a family who decided to spend more time enjoying God's creation. So rather than going to some resort for vacation, they wanted to spend time camping and hiking at the local KOA. So they bought a camper. And they looked forward to traveling place to place to place. Well, as they're driving along, they see a sign on a tree that said, Naturist Camp. And they thought, this is great. We're going to spend time with like-minded people. So they turned their car down this old road that wound through the woods. To their surprise, right in front of them were four nude bicyclists coming toward them. Suddenly it dawned on them the difference between a naturalist camp and a naturist camp. They're driving toward a nudist colony. Well, mom and dad are very concerned because their five-year-old son is sitting in the front seat staring at the bike riders. And dad attempts to turn the car and the camper around, but it takes a couple minutes with a camper, you know. So while they're turning around, the four adults ride past them on their bikes, nude as the day they were born, waving and saying hello. Well, the son's watching all this with wide eyes. And as they go by, he says, Mom, Dad, they're not wearing safety helmets. It's easy to miss the obvious. And it's easy to miss it this glorious Easter day. Amen? Yeah, Jesus died. Yeah, and he was buried. But let's never forget, he rose. Amen. And today he is alive, and he makes us a promise. You put your faith in me, and you'll live forever too with me. Because he lives, we live. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. What a glorious day, Lord. I pray we'd never take it for granted. I pray we'd live every day like it's Easter. Oh, maybe not in a suit and a tie, but we'd live every day like it's Easter, Lord. And we celebrate your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.